Welcome back to another deep dive. We are so glad you, the learner, are here with us today. Because today's mission, it's about tackling something we all universally dread.
Oh, I think I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the absolute, just soul-crushing pain of the standard professional resume. Right?
Oh, definitely.
I'm talking about those flat, black and white PDFs.
Yeah.
You know the ones. You stare at this piece of paper filled with, like, all these buzzwords. Synergy. Agile. Results-driven.
The classics.
Right. And you're just supposed to take their word for it. It's honestly the professional equivalent of someone handing you a piece of paper that says, hey, I'm a hilarious person, and just expecting you to, you know, start laughing on the spot.
It's essentially just a list of unverified claims. I mean, we've collectively accepted this document as, like, the standard currency of the professional world, but it fundamentally fails at actually proving capability. Mm-hmm. You know, anyone can type the word leadership.
Right, exactly.
But very few people can actually lead.
And that is exactly what we are tearing apart today. We are looking at a highly specific, frankly, mind-blowing alternative to the standard PDF. It's this comprehensive, interactive program management portfolio of a professional named Christian Turrell.
Yes.
And instead of just handing over a bulleted list of claims, he has essentially built, well, like a live interactive theme park of his skills.
A theme park is actually a really brilliant way to conceptualize it, because what we're doing today, it isn't just reviewing one person's digital resume. It's really a masterclass in the whole show don't tell philosophy.
Yeah, totally.
We are going to unpack how combining traditional program management with, you know, technical web development and live AI tools creates this absolutely undeniable proof of competence. I mean, it's a template for how you can completely shift the power dynamic in the job market.
Right. So to really understand how this stands out, we have to look at the core claim of almost every program manager out there, which is adaptability.
Always. It's on every resume.
Every single one. I can work in any environment. I can manage any team. But this portfolio, it actually flips that paradigm. It provides real live demonstrations across completely different and honestly often opposing industries.
Yeah, let's look at the structure he set up here.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't just listed past projects.
Right.
He's built out what he calls delivery suites.
Okay, right.
The portfolio contains four live program suites plus a fifth, which is this AI transformation suite that is queued for the next build. And the crucial detail here, the thing you really have to pay attention to, is that each suite runs a genuinely different delivery model.
So he's not just copy-pasting his approach.
Exactly. He is proving range across methodologies. He isn't just, you know, taking one generic management playbook, changing the font, and relabeling it four times for different clients.
And the contrast just between the first two suites alone is jarring.
Mm.
Like for suite number one, he built out a PMBO or a waterfall methodology scenario.
All right.
And this is designed for a healthcare IT project, an enrollment and claims platform modernization. This suite features EVM and heavy change control boards.
Let's actually pause and translate that for a second for the listener.
Please do, yeah.
Because when we say waterfall and EVM, that's earned value management, we are talking about highly rigid, very traditional project management. Think of EVM like building a house.
Okay.
It's not just asking the builders, hey, did we spend half the budget yet? It's this strict mathematical formula asking, did we actually get exactly half the house built for the exact amount of money we projected to spend by, you know, this Tuesday?
So it's incredibly precise.
Extremely. It requires an incredibly strict plan up front. And if you want to change anything, I mean anything, you have to go before a literal board of people, a change control board, just to get permission. It is heavy duty, rigorous governance.
Wow. Okay. But then for his second suite, he pivots entirely to Agile and Scrum. And this is for a SaaS product, MedConnect Mobile. And this is where I really want to push back a bit, because I've worked in corporate environments.
I'm sure you have. Yeah.
And Agile purists and waterfall purists usually despise each other.
They really do.
Like, Agile is all about moving fast, running two-week sprints, defining the definition of done, and constantly changing direction based on user feedback. Waterfall is about, well, never changing the plan.
Right.
So if I'm a hiring manager and I see someone claiming to be an expert in both rigid healthcare IT waterfall and fast-paced SaaS Agile, I'm immediately suspicious.
Oh, absolutely.
It looks like keyword stuffing, you know, like a total jack-of-all-trades, master of none situation. Doesn't this just dilute his credibility?
It would dilute his credibility, definitely, if he were just listing the buzzwords on a PDF. But what's fascinating here is that the interactive portfolio anticipates exactly that skepticism.
Okay, how so?
Well, if you look closely at the architecture of these four suites, he proves that he understands the structural differences by maintaining a shared foundation across all of them.
Like what?
Every single suite contains a charter, a budget, a risk log, a governance model, and a steering deck.
Wait, hold on. You're saying a risk log for a fast-moving software startup looks identical to a risk log for a giant, rigid healthcare project?
Not identical in content, no, but identical in structural purpose. By keeping those core disciplines present in every single suite, but swapping out the methodology-specific tools like, you know, using EVM to track a budget in healthcare versus using sprint velocity to track output in software, he proves a deep structural mastery of the concepts.
Oh, I see.
He's basically showing that a risk is a risk and a budget is a budget no matter where you are. The underlying physics of project management, they don't change. But he knows fluently how to translate those universal concepts into the very specific dialect of that particular industry.
I love that. It's like claiming you're a master chef, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just writing skill to cooking on a piece of paper, you literally invite the hiring manager into your kitchen. First, you serve up a classic, highly structured French multi-course meal.
That's your waterfall.
Exactly. That's the waterfall. Then you immediately pivot and serve a fast, experimental, modern fusion taco menu.
And there's your agile.
Right.
That is a perfect visualization, honestly, because you aren't just tasting the food. You're seeing that the chef understands the fundamental chemistry of heat, salt, and acid, regardless of the specific cuisine they're preparing.
And he pushes this even further with the next two suites, which just like escalate the complexity completely. Suite number three is federal civilian contracting.
Oh, boy.
Right, for a Benefit Connect portal modernization. If you've ever worked anywhere near the federal government, you know it is a bureaucratic universe entirely of its own. He's demonstrating task orders under an IDIQ vehicle.
Yes, an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract. It's basically how the government buys things when they don't know exactly how much of it they need yet.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the key artifacts he built here that are so impressive are the CDRLs and the QASP.
Okay, let's ELI five those. Explain them to me like I'm five, please, because government acronyms are just brutal.
Absolutely brutal, yeah.
Yeah.
So a QASP is a Quality Assurance Surveillance Plan.
Quality Assurance Surveillance Plan. Okay.
Right. Think of it as the government's highly rigid, legally binding rubric for grading your homework.
Right.
If you don't build the project exactly to the specific metrics in this rubric, the government literally does not pay you.
Wow. High stakes.
Very. And CDRLs, those are contract data requirements lists. That's essentially the mandated strict schedule of exactly when you have to hand that homework in, showing you can actually build these documents. It proves an incredibly specific, nuanced understanding of bureaucratic compliance and federal acquisition regulations. You really cannot fake a QASP.
Which is wild, because then Suite 4 completely abandons government software and goes straight into aerospace physical manufacturing.
It's quite the leap.
It's a huge leap. The CWP-700 composite wing panel program. We're talking physical parts here. AS9100 quality management systems, first article inspections, and a material review board. You're going from like software code to literal carbon fiber.
And again, the underlying structure of managing the team and the budget remains exactly the same, but the vocabulary completely shifts to physical tolerances, you know, and manufacturing defects.
Okay, so he's proven he has the perfect blueprint for four entirely different industries. But, you know, blueprints don't build buildings. Reality does.
Very true.
So when things inevitably go wrong, how does he prove he can handle the fallout? Because you can have the absolute best plan in the world, and then, I don't know, a pandemic hits or a major supplier just goes bankrupt.
Right. It's the inherent unpredictability of projects. And human beings are notoriously terrible at estimating that unpredictability.
Exactly. We always get it wrong. And this is where the portfolio shifts from just organizing documents to actually deploying live math. Instead of just putting a bullet point on his resume that says, you know, strong risk management skills, he built live, interactive web tools to actually prove his methodology.
Right. The portfolio features this whole suite of live estimating and decision tools. First, there's the project estimator. This is a guided, fully interactive walkthrough of PMBOK estimating techniques. Specifically, it demonstrates three-point or PERT estimating.
Right. I've seen PERT before. That's the formula where you don't just ask an engineer, hey, how long will this take? Because they will always, always give you the absolute best case scenario.
Of course they will.
Instead, you force them to give you three numbers, right?
Yeah.
The optimistic time, the pessimistic time if everything catches on fire, and the most likely time. Then you run those three numbers through a weighted average formula, It mathematically stops people from being overly optimistic.
It forces a realistic perspective, yeah. But the absolute crown jewel of the section, and honestly what sets this portfolio apart from almost anything else I've seen out there, is the live Monte Carlo risk simulator.
Okay, let's unpack this one slowly, okay? Because the technical aspect here is heavy. What exactly is a Monte Carlo simulation?
So a Monte Carlo simulation is a tool for quantitative risk analysis. Let's use a non-corporate example to make it easier. Think about how a meteorologist predicts the path of a hurricane.
Okay.
They don't just draw one single line on a map and say, the storm will hit exactly here at 2 p.m. That would be a single point guess, and it's almost always wrong.
Right, because weather's chaotic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead, they run thousands of computer simulations with slightly different randomized variables. You know, wind speed, ocean temperature, pressure. The result is that cone of uncertainty that you always see on the news.
Oh, right. The cone.
Yeah, the cone. It shows you the probability of where the storm might go rather than one definitive line.
Okay, I follow that. So how does a hurricane model apply to a project manager building like an IT platform?
Well, instead of relying on a human being's single point guess, like saying a task will take exactly 5 days, or a specific risk has exactly a 20% chance of happening, this web tool runs thousands of simulated project outcomes using those randomized variables.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it creates a probability curve for your project's overall budget and timeline. And to tie it all together, Christian actually preloaded this live simulator with a real R001 data quality risk straight from his own PM suite. He used it as a worked example.
So it's not just a blank calculator.
No, not at all. You aren't just playing with generic math. You're seeing exactly how he applies advanced statistical modeling to his own specific project data.
Okay, but I have to play devil's advocate here again.
Go for it.
Because that sounds brilliant in a textbook.
Right, right.
But for the people listening who just want to, say, pitch a new software tool to their boss or run standard marketing campaign, most project managers I know, they just slap a high, medium, or low label on a risk in an Excel spreadsheet, color-code it red, yellow, or green, and call it a day.
They do. It's very common.
Isn't building a custom-coded web tool that runs thousands of Monte Carlo simulations massive overkill? Like, doesn't it just slow everything down?
Well, it might seem like overkill if you're managing a small, internal, maybe 5-person initiative. But this highlights the exact flaw in standard program management, particularly on these multi-million dollar federal or aerospace initiatives. Human guessing is fundamentally flawed by cognitive biases.
Mm-hmm.
We always think things will go smoother than they actually do.
Oh, the planning fallacy.
Exactly, the planning fallacy. By building a tool that visualizes a probability curve, he's telling a hiring manager, look, I don't just guess with your millions of dollars. I use statistical modeling to tell you mathematically how confident we can be in our delivery date.
That's a strong statement.
It is. It completely removes the emotion and the gut feeling from million-dollar decisions. And alongside this, he also built structured decision tools. These are mathematically weighted methods to choose between, say, 2 to 4 options, like different vendors or software purchases.
It's literally taking the art of management and turning it into a hard science. And this is the real kicker to me, putting that science in a browser window so the hiring manager can just click the buttons and run the simulations themselves.
Yes.
That builds an immense amount of trust before you ever even sit down for a real interview.
It provides undeniable proof of execution. I mean, you cannot fake a functioning Monte Carlo simulator. You either know how to build it and use it or you don't.
Right. So, okay, we've covered the rigid corporate execution and we've covered the really advanced risk math. Honestly, if the portfolio ended right there, it would easily be in the top 1%.
Without a doubt.
But this final section is where things go entirely off the rails, but like in the best possible way.
It really does take a turn.
This section explores how his mind works off the clock, and it reveals how he applies this complex data integration and his AI-directed development approach to highly niche passion projects.
Yes, the space and amateur radio applications suite. It is it's a quite a thematic pivot from aerospace wing panels and healthcare IT platforms.
It's a massive pivot. I mean, let's dive into a couple of these because the technical mechanism of how they work is just fascinating. For example, he built an HF band and sunspot forecaster.
Right.
And this application, it actively pulls live, raw space weather data from NOAA, things like solar flex and the K-index, which measure geomagnetic storms.
And the mechanism here is what's really crucial. Raw NOAA space weather data is incredibly dense. It's designed for scientists. But what this app does is it translates that raw data in real time into a day-night openness estimate across multiple radio bands. from 160 meters down to 10 meters plus 6 meters.
Okay, so what does that actually mean for a user?
It basically tells a ham radio operator, hey, based on the solar activity happening right this second, this specific frequency is your best bet for bouncing a signal off the ionosphere.
That is wild.
Yeah.
And he also built this suite of other tools, like a Morse code practice trainer that features a live two-way AI conversation mode.
Yes, with adjustable tone and speed.
And a gray line propagation visualizer. And an Aurora and KP index alert that gives you a personalized verdict on whether you can see the aurora using geomagnetic latitude.
It's incredibly thorough.
And my favorite, the ISS Path Predictor. This isn't just a map showing where the International Space Station is. I mean, it features live orbital tracking, but it also includes Doppler-corrected radio tuning.
We should probably explain the Doppler correction because that shows just immense attention to detail on his part.
Right. So think of an ambulance driving past you on the street.
Okay.
As it comes towards you, the pitch of the siren gets higher, and as it drives away, the pitch drops. That's the Doppler effect. Well, the exact same thing happens to radio waves emitted by the International Space Station as it orbits the Earth at 17,000 miles an hour.
Makes sense.
If you are on the ground trying to listen to the astronauts, the frequency actually changes as the station flies over your house. This web tool he built mathematically predicts that change and tells you exactly how to adjust your radio dial second by second to keep the signal clear.
That's incredible.
Plus, it generates an AI briefing with a space weather fused opportunity score.
He's integrating multiple complex data streams into one single interface.
Okay, so I love space. I love radio. I think the Doppler math is incredibly cool.
Sure.
But I have to ask the obvious pragmatic question here.
I know you're going to ask.
I mean, I'm a hiring manager for a corporate IT modernization project. Why do I care that this guy can track the International Space Station or build an AI that teaches Morse code? What does this have to do with managing a team of software developers?
I am so glad you asked that because this goes to the very heart of what modern program management actually is. Yeah. If we connect this to the bigger picture, program management is entirely about data integration and user experience.
Okay, unpack that for me.
Think about what a program manager actually does all day. They don't write the code. They don't build the actual wing panel. They take a chaotic mess of highly technical information from different departments, finance, engineering, legal, and they synthesize it.
Right. They had to make it make sense to the stakeholders who actually hold the purse strings.
Precisely. Taking raw, chaotic NOAA space weather data or complex orbital tracking telemetry and turning it into a simple personalized opportunity score uses the exact same mental muscle as taking a chaotic engineering report and turning it into a simple green, yellow, or red light for a CEO.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He is synthesizing raw, complex, highly technical data into actionable, easily understood insights for an end user. The subject matter just happens to be space and radio, but the core competency he is proving is data translation.
That is a phenomenal point. He's proving he can take something that usually requires a physics degree to read and distill it down to a simple dashboard for an everyday user. He's showing you can manage complexity, not just talk about managing it.
Exactly. And this capability to manage and direct complexity is further reinforced by the final piece of the portfolio, which is the nursing clinical scenario trainer.
Right, which seems like another wild pivot from space to nursing.
It is a pivot in subject matter, definitely, but the underlying purpose is highly strategic. This is a proof of concept application containing 10 modules across branching shift scenarios. It features rapid fire judgment checks and step sequencing drills for nursing students.
Okay.
And it's grounded in a real open licensed nursing textbook. But the meta purpose of this tool, the reason he included it in a project management portfolio, is explicitly to demonstrate his AI-directed development approach.
Let's make sure we clarify that. Yeah. He didn't just, like, use AI to write a summary of a nursing book.
Yeah, no.
He used AI as a development partner to actually code and structure the complex branching logic of a medical training module.
Yes, exactly. It acts as a tangible functioning artifact proving how AI can be leveraged to rapidly develop complex logic systems and instructional design. I mean, we hear every day from companies saying, oh, we need to integrate AI into our workflow.
Everyone says that right now.
Right, but most people just have vague opinions on how to actually do that. Christian doesn't just have an opinion. He has a deployed artifact proving he knows how to prompt, direct, and QA an AI to build something highly technical.
So we need to bring all of this back down to earth for a second. What does this mean for you, the person listening to this right now?
The key takeaway here is that the traditional static resume is dying.
It really is.
We just walked through the mechanics of Christian Turrell's portfolio, and according to the mission clock on his site, he has 61 deployed interactive artifacts. 61. This clearly shows that the future of professional credentialing belongs to those who build.
It belongs to people who allow a hiring manager to touch, play with, and experience their expertise firsthand. You know, rather than just reading a bullet point that claims they have strong analytical skills.
Because it completely neutralizes that natural skepticism a hiring manager has. If I read expert in risk management on a PDF, I doubt it. But I cannot doubt a live Monte Carlo simulator calculating probability curves right in front of my own eyes. The proof is undeniable. It is the ultimate evolution of show, don't tell. Which really raises an important question and something I'd like to leave you with to ponder today.
Okay, let's hear it.
We are living in a moment where an AI can now perfectly format and optimize a traditional PDF resume in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It can fill it with all the right industry keywords, perfectly tailor it to the job description, and make literally anyone look brilliant on paper. If that is true, doesn't the written resume eventually become completely meaningless as a measure of actual human capability?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, if literally anyone can generate a perfect resume instantly with zero effort, then a perfect resume proves absolutely nothing. It just proves you know how to copy and paste into ChatGPT.
Exactly. The standard of proof is going to shift dramatically, and it's going to shift toward interactive artifacts. So the question for you, the listener, is this. Look at your own skills. Look at your own industry. What interactive live artifact could you build tomorrow to definitively prove your unique expertise to the world?
I love that challenge. Seriously, think about how you can invite someone into your kitchen and let them taste the food rather than just handing them a printed menu. We'll leave you to chew on that. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.